Once again, welcome.
Amen.
Yes, I am. Once again, I'm not the pastor.
Yes, you are.
Welcome to me.
But I want to share something with you again that's been in my heart for numerous different reasons and a lot of different things. So about 2 weeks ago, I shared a message about preservatives and how God is our preservatives and how He's to protect us throughout our life. Last week, our brother Tony, he shared a message about serving, that everyone is called to serve in the body of Christ somehow, some way.
Right.
Now this morning, I'm going to attempt to share with y'all how to bring these things together.
Cool.
I'm going to attempt it. Let me see. So, do you know that there are things that God can't do?
No.
Now, some people are like, I say,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Realistically, God can do anything He wants. He's God, right?
Right.
But according to His word, He can't lie.
That's right.
He can't abandon you. He can't reject you. He can't stop loving you. He can't break a promise. He can't make trash. Why do I say that? If God made us in His image, and everything He made, He said it was good, then He must be satisfied on His creation, on who He made in us. Now, as we go throughout our lives, we may change what God wanted us to do versus what we wanted us to do. So, my goal here this morning is to share that with us and to see how we got off track and where we can get back on. Now, in a sense, it might sound like a beating, but it's really and truly not. It's really true. And as I go throughout, you'll be able to see where my heart is coming from to be like that. Now, all the things that I said before that God can't do, people do it. People do it to each other. To family, to friends, whoever, even people you don't know. And what does that create in us? It creates what is known as baggage. You know how sometimes when you've been in one relationship and then you go into another one, then you expect something of the other one that wasn't the other, or vice versa, and things like that. And a lot of people in the world terminology, they call it luggage, where I'm not that person, so don't expect these things from me, or I didn't do these things to you. But it's a fact of our reality, and that's what we expect. And the fact is, we all go through things, and we carry this baggage with us all the time on our backs. Now, when you first put it on, it's probably not too uncomfortable. But imagine this, carrying this with you everywhere you go, 24/7. Yes, sleeping with it, bathing with it, going to work, going to school, whatever. Minus the part of it getting wet or anything. The part of the inconvenience of trying to sit down at a table, trying to do anything. But in reality, that's what we carry in on ourselves every day throughout our lives because of the things, just different things that we've been through.
That's true.
Now, Jesus says that when we accept Him, we're going to go through turmoil. We're going to have more. So it's like we're going to get more. Well, possibly so. Because if you think about reality, if the devil's got you in his pocket, what does he need you to be destructive for? What does he need you to go through trials for? Because he's already got you. Whether we realize it or not, it's true. So this verse I have in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he tells them, if the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first. So let us be aware, if the world hated Jesus, the sinless one, the hopeful one, the holy one, if they hated him, what would we expect of the world to do to his children?
Hate us too.
The same, if not worse.
Amen.
So we shouldn't be surprised at that. So when I tell you that if your coworkers hate you, if your friends hate you, if your neighbors hate you, or even if your family hates you, it's not about you.
It's true.
What do you mean it's not about me?
Right.
Everything's about me. Nah. It's not about you.
Amen,
what it's about is the Jesus that is in you that the problem occurs.
Amen.
So much of the pain that we have, it seems that he came down, he was flesh at one time. So he burdened the pains that we have. He knows what we've been through. He came through temptations. He came through hunger. He came through selfishness. He came through discrimination. He came through all those things.
Amen.
So he knows what we've been through. He knows what we carry. And guess what? He has our back.
Amen.
Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, and all who weary and burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
This is just another demonstration that shows how much Jesus cares for us.
Amen.
He is telling us to cast our worries, our cares, our burdens on his shoulders, and he can carry them, and he will give us rest.
Amen.
And a lot of times we're like, rest, what would that be like? Well, in attention, I'm going to show you or explain how we can go about that so we can feel this burden free. And you're like, how can you show me that? Well, it's an attempt. Like I said. So let's deal with this. As I mentioned earlier, our disappointments bring baggage. And take this backpack, for instance. What do we do with it? The obvious thing right now is right. We carry it, right?
Yeah.
But what is it made for? To put things in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we show it off. Hey, look at mine. Look at mine. Where you got yours at? I got mine here. I got mine at the dollar store. However we show it off, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
It has the same purpose. We put things in it, we carry it around. And sometimes we even share with each other what we have in it. Some of us compare them to each other. Now imagine this backpack belongs to you. Imagine this is your backpack. What do you carry in your backpack? The reason why I ask this is because whether we realize it or not, every one of us carries one like this.
Amen.
Every one of us has been through life, no matter how old we are. We have things that we put in there, whether it's good or bad, it is in here. So I'm not sure if we realize or not, but there are three kinds of people in here this morning. Now I know if you've heard sermons before, you said, I've heard that. People say there's four kinds of people in here, there's two kinds of people in here. Well, I'm not going to change that, except I'm going to say there's three kinds. And usually if you pay attention, you listen, we usually fit in one of those categories. Some way, somehow or another. Maybe not exactly, maybe we blend in on one or another. Well, the point is, I'm going to share on how we distinguish these three different categories. The first kind is the one that carries this bag. Everybody can see it. Everybody can see the size. although the contents are hidden, we can't really see what's inside, but we know it's there. We know something's inside. And we don't know how much of it is being carried. The second kind is the one who's carrying this clear backpack, where everything is exposed. All our burdens, all our troubles is clearly seen. Now, sometimes it's done on purpose. Sometimes we like to share everything going on with us, with everybody who will listen. Sometimes we don't really like to. It's just the way we are. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. It does depend on how we're brought up, what we're accustomed to. And the third one, I gotta make room for the third one. I'm gonna fit it right there. The third one is this one. Y'all see that one? You don't see it? It's because it's invisible. This is the kind of backpack we don't want nobody to know our business. This is the kind of backpack that we want everybody to think all our ducks are in a row. Everything's straight. Everything's good to go. And the fact of the matter is, you look at this one, you can look at this one, or you can look at this one. And if you look inside, they all got the same thing in it. Amen. The only difference is how we represent it. Amen. Who are we trying to hide something from? What are we trying to protect it from? That's the only difference. I'm not saying this one's better than this one or this one's better than that one. No, because it all depends on how we brought up, what are we invested in, and how we live our lives changes who we are. Amen. So, like I said, there's three different kinds. Now, I try to think of a fourth one to make it an even number, but all I can think of is these three. Amen. And the fact is, it's all it is. Because everybody has something wrong. Everybody, I'm not saying everything's always falling apart, everything's always bad, but everybody who is alive has been through stuff, good or bad, but everybody's been through stuff. The question is, how do we show it, or do we show it? Now, look at these, your backpack. I don't know who's got what. But look at the one that you carry. You know who you are. You know how you like to represent or don't represent. And what do you have inside of there that keeps us down? What do you have in there that burdens you? What do you have in there that stops you from progressing to be able to grow spiritually, grow in the life of the kingdom, or be able to share happiness or joy with anyone else? Now, I'm not saying that somebody might have a part of this one in it and part of this one, because sometimes I'll share some things, but I won't share everything. Or I'll tell certain people everything, and somebody, I won't tell them nothing. Which is fine. It all depends, like I said, it all depends on how you were brought. And who do you trust? Who are you willing to confine in where you can be shared that with and trust? But let's just take a look, for instance, what could possibly be in these backpacks. A broken heart. Somewhere on the line in our life, we've had our hearts broken by somebody or something. Whether we remember it or not, or we do. Somebody has disappointed us and that we thought it was so close to and just did something, or that we've done something to. Rejection. From who or what? I'm sure somebody or all of us has been rejected from something in our lifetime. I know I have. I could tell you real quickly, growing up, I say growing up, when I was really younger, I was the sixth child of my biological family, the sixth baby. But yet, I was the only one taken by the state, put into another family, being adopted. To some degree, I had an older brother and sister that I had no knowledge of because I was that young. And it wasn't until I was grown in the military where my oldest brother, who called me and said, "Hey, how you doing? I'm your brother." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "No, you ain't." And he said, "Yeah, I was gone before you could remember." And I happened to see him the other day. He just like turned 60. But I always wondered, why was I the only one taken? How much different in age I was? Because my other two brothers was raised by one of my sisters. I'm like, well, if they were raised, why couldn't I be? So I had to struggle with something like that for the longest, longest time. Very much so. And it wasn't until a few years ago where I just like, well, God had a plan for me.
Amen, brother.
And that's why it worked the way it did. At the time, it was big baggage. But when I learned to give it to Him,
amen,
He freed me from that. Unrepentant sins could just mean sin that we haven't dealt with yet. Something we did and said, oh, it's not too bad. Or nobody's going to know about it. But yet we still feel like guilt. We still feel that burden, like, I know something's wrong, so we can't deal with it. We'd rather just push it aside. And believe it or not, it brings bondage. It brings baggage. It becomes a load that we walk in and we carry, and we can't figure it out. We can't grasp what it actually is. Discrimination. From whom or what? Some point in our lives, we've been discriminated by somebody for some reason. Whether it's because we're male or female, because we're a boy or girl. Well, that is male or female, huh? Because we're big, we're big or small, tall or short, color our hair, or whatever reason. Fill in the blank. What we've been discriminated about for what reason? Disappointments. I know we've been disappointed about things. That's almost like an everyday.
Yeah.
Some is intentional, some is not, but it's part of life. It's a fact of our lives.
Right.
Loneliness. We could be in a whole group room full of people, but yet you feel so alone. You have a big old party or whatever, have 30, 50, 100 people, but yet you're by yourself because nobody's talking to you. Nobody's befriending you. You feel everybody's talking about you instead of to you. That holds grudges. That holds animosity. That becomes baggage.
Amen.
That becomes a struggle that we deal with. Now maybe there's some things in here that's in your bag that I haven't said. But it's still important to you. And maybe there's some things that I have mentioned that is just so hard to shake. You just can't figure out how to get rid of and how to live the life that God wants us to live. It doesn't mean it's not important, because it's important to you. So what I need you to do is spiritually pull that out of your bag that you have. Maybe you can think about it, or you know exactly what it is. And give these burdens to Jesus.
Amen.
Now I want to share a second with y'all on my second favorite verse in Scripture. And if you look in your bulletins, it's actually posted in your bulletin. So if you want to remember it, you can save it for a souvenir. In Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
Now that speaks so much power and volume. to me. A few years back, I had did a Youth Unite thing where every 3 months we was putting on a youth function that I was in charge of, and I was instructed to pick a verse to represent what it is that we're talking about or what it is that we're trying to say. And I was like, okay, I could do that. But I'm not just going to pick anything. Something's got to mean something to me.
Amen, brother.
And I had a whole lot of different verses that was given to me. Say, hey, use this one, use it. And I was like, they're good, don't get me wrong. So there's nothing to explain. But it didn't do nothing for me in the sense of my heart was to tell these children on how much Jesus loved them and how much he cares for them. So just to me, pick any verse and have it mean something to them, it didn't seem fit. And one night, you might have heard of Christian Stanfield. He was doing a worship service in a Baptist church in New Orleans. And Laura and I had went. And he says straight up that this is a worship service. I'm not putting on a concert. He never talked about promoting his music or his title. He never even said his name, in fact. The whole service was just strictly worship. And before he sang this song called One Thing Remains, he talked about this verse. He talked about this scripture, and it just hit me. Like I could have had a V8, you know?
Yeah.
And I told Laura, I said, that's what it is. And she's like, what are you talking about? Because she didn't know I was trying to figure this out. But he said before he sings that song, One Thing Remains, is that God will always love us. As long as we have breath in us to confess and love upon him, there's nothing. Everything in these two verses covers anything that could possibly come against us.
Amen.
Every single thing that's possible. But instead, God says, nothing will be able to separate that love that he has for us. To me, that's powerful. No matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how many burdens we carry, no matter how many things we disappoint him, that one song that we sang a while ago, that Lauren Daigle song, How Can It Be? It's the same kind of stuff.
Amen.
She says she feels so dirty about all the things she's done, all the wrong that she's done, but yet then Jesus bared the cross. He righted her wrong to say, how can it be? That's what she's saying. You will always love me. I can't just... He remembers things no more.
Amen.
When we confess to him, he remembers it no more. He casts it as far as the east is to the west. It's us that keeps bringing up the past.
Amen.
And that's just another part of Satan's games, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago. That's just another part. Because he's the one that wants to keep us down. He's the one that wants to keep us sorrow and in trouble and feeling bad for ourselves and all. Not him. Jesus doesn't want that. After all, he sent his son to die so we can have everlasting life.
Amen.
So if somebody did that, why would they want you in turmoil all the time?
That's right.
If we want to move forward, we got to quit looking in that rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, those of you that drive, if you're driving, but your head's constantly looking like this, guess what? You're going to hit something.
Amen.
Or somebody.
Yeah.
Can't be good. You can't go forward, keep worrying about what's behind us. Because what happens? The past is the past. We can't change it. We cannot undo what we've done. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
amen,
the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
Amen.
What is that speaking of? This, the same kind of things that I'm saying. We have to look forward.
Right.
You heard what when we get baptized, what does that represent?
Washing.
Represent you washing the old self away. When you're being dunked in the water, the old you is gone and a new you is rising, right?
Amen. Amen.
So why do we want to go underwater and keep looking for our old selves? Leave him or her behind.
Amen.
Let that be. The only way that we can go forward with something is to go forward with it.
Amen, Lord.
If we keep dwelling in the past and bringing up things that we can't shake or we can't figure out how to get rid of, it's not going to work. Because you're stuck in between two worlds in a sense. You're stuck maybe carrying a half a bag or three quarters of a bag. But either way, we're going to be walking lopsided because we can't get our focus straight.
Amen.
But why do we keep doing that? I think I have an answer. Now I'm going to share something with you that might sound a little strange. Although things I've shared probably have. Yeah. Anyway.
Stranger.
But yeah.
Okay.
But I believe that the reason why we keep digging up the past is we think that Jesus can't take away this pain. Huh? I know, that's what I said. It might sound strange to us. But what are we doing? We're not intentionally saying, no, Jesus can't take that from me. I mean, he created a world, but he can't do that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we're not physically saying that he's not capable. But in our own conscious mind, we're saying, my pain is too great. My pain is too big for him to bear. Although he did it for the whole world.
Yeah.
But my pain, he don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. I don't.
Yeah.
Your friend don't. He does.
Amen.
We trust that God came down in the flesh as man, as Jesus. We trust that he made all these miracles and did all of these things. And we trust that he died on the cross and rose again and then sent his Holy Spirit down to dwell within us.
Amen.
But yet we don't think that he can bear the burden of our pain. I know we're not physically saying that, but are we? If we can't release what he says,
that's right,
to release?
That's right.
Or we might think, well, God's just too busy to worry about me. Little old me, out of everybody in the world, nobody talks to me, nobody cares about me anyway, so why would he? That's something that's in our heads. Not maybe each, every one of us, but somebody. I've thought it before. Why me? You know, especially after me being placed in foster home to foster home and all this. Well, why would God care about me if I have to, I've been, you know, nobody else did. So how easy it is for us to get confused into what the world has put into our hearts or into our minds. Another thing I've heard people say is, I'm not ready to forgive myself yet. Really?
Huh.
Really? Seriously, I have heard that told to me.
Amen.
And how can we forgive ourselves?
Yeah.
Forget about it, maybe. Till you do the next thing and forget about it. But I have to be able to forgive myself before God can do it.
No.
Survey said.
Down at the cross, down all the way through.
Another thing is that we say, I can't ask for forgiveness, or I can't receive forgiveness, or I can't give my burdens, because the person that I hurt or the person that hurt me is not in my life anymore. Now,
it
if it could be because you're not friends with that person, the person moved away, or maybe they even passed away. So we feel like we can never connect that because that person is not involved in our life. Well, just in sense, I have something I learned in one of my counseling classes that has helped other people with that particularity. Now, this is definitely going to sound strange to you. Because what I've heard or been instructed that could help with some of us, and this is more of for this particular reason, when the person that you're trying to reach or can't reach isn't in our lives, Or that person just might be not approachable. Or you just don't want to speak to them, person to person. Or can't. Or you can't, you get too afraid to be able to say how you've been hurt or what's really on your heart. And what I've been told is you take a chair and you put that person in the chair that you're wishing to speak to. Now, you can't physically put them there, but if you want a representation, you can always put their picture in it. Maybe step on or stab it. No, I'm just picking up. Yeah. But you put the picture of that person on there and you express your feelings to them, whether it's something that you're trying to confess to or something that you're trying to ask for forgiveness for. Either way, it works. But you express your true feelings because it's between you and God, ultimately.
Amen.
Although we think it's between me and that person, but in reality is between you and God.
Amen.
Because forgiveness is actually for you.
Amen.
It's not necessarily for the other person. Although we think it is, but just on a sense, if you can't talk to that person because they don't want to speak to you no more, and do they really care if you say you're sorry? Or do they even care that you offended them or if they have offended you? No. But this technique would actually help you get past so your burdens could be lifted and then you're giving it to God.
Amen.
You tell this person what it is that they, how they've hurt you or how you've hurt them. And after you've done that, you release it to God. Say, okay, I've done it. Or some people just write letters, read it out loud, and then tear it up. That's another way. But once you do that and you tear it up, throw it away. Don't go back and looking for it. Say, what did I say? Because it's done. It's in the past now. That pain has been relieved after you've given it to God.
Amen.
Because ultimately, you have to trust in Him that He's going to do what you're asking, about to ask for. Because if you're just saying words and talking to a chair, they're like, okay. But you have to believe that God will fulfill what He's saying that He would do. And not everybody has to do something like that. Some people can just pray about it and it's gone.
Amen.
But some of us actually need a visual to get past something. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just how we are. So I'm not saying it in a good way or a bad way or anything like that. But sometimes we need something physical to be able to speak to or say something to. Excuse me. And I do encourage you to, when you do something like that, you do it on your own time. I don't mean like not on my time. I mean when it's between you and God and it's just personal, where no one else is around, no one can disturb you, no one can ask you for a cup of coffee or fix them something to drink or anything like that. Do it when you just have your own personal time with God. That way, there's no reason why you can't say, I gave it to Him. I wasn't interrupted by anything or anybody, the phone ringing or texting or whatever.
Amen.
It's personal time between you and Him. One of the other reasons that I feel, which might be the biggest reason for us, is that, well, I've been this way for so long, this is just the way of life. This is my cross that I have to bear. No, we've heard that before. This is just what I have to do, what I have to put up with. But that's not true. That's just a lie of the devil. Because this is not what the cross was for. Jesus didn't die so we continue being burdened. Jesus didn't give us everlasting life so we can continue to live in misery. Jesus took the place on a cross. So as a born-again believer, we don't have no reason to actually live in defeat. I understand things happen, but don't keep it.
Right.
Release it to Him. When we do that, we're saying that Jesus can't take it away. I gotta fix it. I gotta fix it myself. And the truth of the matter is, if we can actually fix it ourselves, we wouldn't have it. So guess what? That's not working either.
Amen.
Although we falsely want to believe these lies, say, well, you got to fix that. Nobody else can fix that for you. Nobody but Him.
Amen.
So there's some correctness in that.
Amen.
We rather just talk about it to everybody who can't fix it. And just complain. And to see who listens till you're sick and tired. If you are sick and tired of eating cornflakes, but every time you go in the store, you buy a box of cornflakes, guess what you're going to get when you get home? See, you already know.
Amen, bro.
Don't ever expect to go buy cornflakes to get home and eat Fruit Loops. It ain't going to happen.
Amen, brother.
No matter how bad we want it,
right,
it's not going to happen if we buy the same thing.
It's true.
So my point is, if you want something different, you have to do something different.
Amen.
If we want to get rid of these burdens and quit carrying them around, don't put them on your shoulders.
Amen.
Put them on the one who said He would carry them. I had another lesson that I had taught a while back, and this kind of reminds me of it. It was called, Do You Want to Be Made Well? And what I mean by this is, do you want to be made well?
Amen.
And it's involving in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. You've probably heard the story before, but I'm going to read all verses 1 through 9, and then I want to elaborate on a couple of verses for you so we can get a clearer picture of where I'm going. So 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethel, right? And surrounded by 5 covered porches. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. By one who there had been made invalid. Now there was an angel that just skipped. There was an angel that would go down seasonal that would touch the water and stir it up. And it was believed or said that the first person who touched the water after this angel did that, they would be healed of anything wrong with them. Sound pretty good, huh? And there was one person who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he went to ask him, "Do you want to be made well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me in the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus asked him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. Then he picked up his mat and walked. And this day that took place was on the Sabbath. Now, I read the whole parable or scripture of it so we can get a foundation and see what's really going on. But what I want to do is focus on verses 5, 6, and 7. Because this is where the meat of it, and I think this is where a lot of us go getting confused in different things of how we are carrying these burdens. So, the other verses set the foundation for us. Now, there were all kind of people here to be healed. Evidently, they've heard about this pool, this seasonal thing. So, I mean, I don't know about everybody, anybody else, but if I would hear of something that can miraculously heal me from anything, and I've been sick for 38 years, I'm getting there. Now, apparently this man couldn't walk, so I would just be rolling.
Yeah.
I'll be rolling down, knocking everybody down like a bunch of bowling pins,
Amen.
Just to make sure I can get my spot.
Amen.
Now, you may say, well, that was a selfish way. But according to the way the scriptures read, he's been trying for a long time. But somebody's always getting there in front of him. So I imagine he's pretty frustrated too. So when we go to the doctor, what do we go for? To get healed from something, right? We don't go to the doctor's office just to sit an hour or two in a waiting room just to watch everybody come in and go in and out and get healed. That's retarded. Why would we do that? We go because we want to be healed. So I'm thinking when people heard of this pool, they've been going for quite some time. They're going to get healed. And in verse 5, there was this man, 38 years, and he's been dealing with this for quite some time. And like now, when you see some people, they get a sniffles or something, they run into the doctor's office. Now, some people don't go to the doctor at all. They just rather something get healed on its own and take its course. But this man was sick or whatever was specifically wrong with him for 38 years. That's a long time. And my question is, in verse 6, Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? What was his response? What did he say? Now you might say, well, he didn't know that was Jesus. Maybe, maybe not. Now we also know every place Jesus went, he had a lot of people following him. So he had to know something. That's just my guess. But he had to know something. But even still, if he didn't know, someone walked up to him and said, do you want to be made well? Instead of him saying, well, yeah, let's see what he says. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, we already know he wanted to be healed because he was there. And the way he's speaking, he's been there on more than one occasion. But could it be that he keep making an excuse of why? Because he was so comfortable in the way he was, it was easy to make an excuse of why he can't be healed instead of just replying, yeah. And that's how I think that the answer is, it's the same answer that we give all the time. He's so used to being like this, it's easy to complain to somebody else, regardless of who it was, to tell him, I have nobody to help me. Now, remember the faith of the woman who had the issue of blood? She did everything in her power. And what did she say? If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed.
Amen.
I don't have to speak to him. He don't have to carry me. He don't have to hold my hand. If I could just touch his clothing, I will be healed.
Amen.
And she did not let nothing stop her.
Right.
Even being trampled on and being shushed, she didn't let anything stop her until she got what she wanted.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus, screaming at the top of his lungs,
yeah.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody was trying to hush him. He couldn't see him, but he heard about him. And guess what? He knew if he got a hold of him, he would be healed.
Amen.
So his determination was just the same.
Right.
So why would this guy make an excuse of why he can't be healed instead of saying, well, yeah. And I'm thinking it's the same thing that we live in today's world. We're so used to being bamboozled and shut down and persecuted that it's just easy to complain about what's wrong with us instead of saying, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but think about the burdens that we carry. Do they actually matter in the world of eternity? Can we change something with them?
Yeah.
A lot of times, even when we come to church, we look so defeated. When coming here should be the most happiest day of the week.
Amen.
Except Friday when you're getting paid, maybe. But really, because you come in here to hear about the Word of God. You come in here to what He has done in our lives to make our lives better.
Amen.
Now, instead of us complaining about, oh, look what He did, we should be complimenting and worshiping the fact that He sent His only Son to die.
Amen.
A brutal death, so we can have unity with Him again forever.
Amen.
Because whether we realize it or not, this world, this life, is temporal. We could be living to 100 years old, but it's only a scratch compared to eternity.
Yeah.
And a lot of us want to live for today, not for tomorrow.
Amen.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you can't enjoy what has been given to us, but where's our focus? What are we being burdened with instead of giving God the glory for everything that He has? All the stuff in our backpacks that burden us, Jesus died for. The pool's already stirred for us.
Yeah.
I heard of a song the other day, and there's one verse that was saying, it appealed to me for this. It said that, I feel like I'm not strong enough to carry on this load, for I'm not able on my own. Think how true that is. Think of all the things that we really try to do and fix on our own. And if we were that good, like I said, it would be fixed.
Amen.
And I'm not saying it's wrong to tell somebody in confidence and share. That's what the body is for. But to tell somebody who can't fix it or could care less is useless. Now, if you're telling someone I can pray with you and get and help you achieve, that's a different story.
Amen.
But just to tell somebody who's going to go gossip about it, amen, or put it on Facebook or text the next person, what did we do? All that did is make a bigger burden, because now everybody knows.
Yeah.
Whether it's something simple that just hurt somebody, hurt you or that you hurt, or if it's something very tragic. It's hard enough for us to carry it ourselves, but we don't need somebody else kicking us when we're down about it.
That's right.
We need somebody to lift us up and share it with.
Amen.
That we can actually build confidence in and trust in.
Amen.
So yeah, we have to be careful who we share things with. Very much so. But the only one that can actually fix it is the one that matters that we need to share it with.
Amen.
I think maybe we just try to do it so much on our own, we just can't see the answers right here.
Yeah.
It's right there. I've heard a lot of people tell me that when you go to the altar, when you pray, put everything aside and just pray to God, but put all your burdens, all your cares aside and just focus on Him. I think it's baloney.
Yeah, really.
Because if you're going to Him to cast all your cares upon Him, but you're leaving your baggage aside. After you get up from your prayer, you go back to the table, you put your backpack on, and you walk out. What did you do?
Amen.
We got the same burdens we went in with.
That's right.
The only way to solve it is to actually lay them at His feet.
Amen.
And leave it there. Now, I'm not saying everything can be done this quick and this fast. No. But what I'm saying, if we really trust Him that will do it, and we actually lay it at His feet, I promise you, you're going to feel 100 times better when you leave.
Amen.
But don't leave the bottom part of the axe there, but bring the handle with you.
No.
That don't do no good either.
Because
then you're allowing yourself to bring it back up.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Lay it down. Just lay it down. We're going to go through this right quick. Broken heart. We don't need to have a broken heart.
Amen.
God can heal it. God fix it. Rejection. We've all been rejected by somebody, but God would never reject us.
Amen.
Unrepented sin or undealt with sin, either way, confess it to Him. He will take that burden. He will take it away from us. Discrimination, whatever we've been discriminated against, or by who, give it to Him too. Disappointments, put our faith in Him, put our trust in Him, we won't be disappointed. Loneliness, like I said, a lot of times we're in a big old crowd but we feel lonely. The fact of the matter is we can't make somebody talk to us, we can't make somebody care for us. But when you have Him and you trust in Him all, it won't seem as bad, it won't seem as much. Because in today's world, everybody's about me. Not me, but me.
Yeah.
And then the towel. Wipe your tears on it. Be done.
Amen.
Give your heart to Him. Give our power that Satan has. Give it back to God. Let Him free us. And then this clear bag, we could be proud to take it and carry it around.
Amen.
Because there's nothing but love in it.
That's right.
Nothing but happiness. Not saying we won't have disappointments. Not saying we won't go through troubles. But when we trust in the one that can take the pain away, when we trust in the one that can do it for us, our burdens don't feel as heavy.
Amen.
We could run with this backpack. You can only run so far with that one.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about this one that's invisible because you're not ashamed of anything anymore.
Amen, brother.
So whatever it is that haunts you, burdens you, He already knows what it is.
Amen.
The only thing He really wants is us acknowledge that He knows what it is and allow Him to do it. So if you're really sick and tired of cornflakes, get something else.
Amen.
Try something else. You know, we have all been through storms in our lives. Some are little rain showers. Some are tornadoes. Some are hurricanes. But each one of us have been through something. And each one of those storms can make us or break us. The question is, how are we changing when we go through these storms? Does it make us bitter at somebody? Does it make it us have compassion for some? What does it do?
Thank you. Good message. It's a good... issue that everyone needs to come to grips with, that we all have things that hold us back. We all have things that drag us down. You might be sitting out there today and say, well, if God loved me so much, why is my life so miserable? If God loved me so much, why don't things work out the way they should be? If God loves me so much, why do I never feel Him in my life? The short answer to that is just sin. Because the sin that is destroying your life is also separating you from God's presence. And Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to remove that sin from your life. But you have to ask Him. You have to invite Him. He's not going to force you. I talked with a lady just this morning who was telling me about all the religions that she studied and all the books that she read. And oh, she knows all about Muhammad and all about all these other people. And I said, well, I don't know anything about any of those. I just read the Bible because Jesus is all I need.
Amen.
And then I get an opportunity to express to her what salvation is and what it entails. And she said, well, I think I understand it in my mind, but I've never accepted it in my heart. I said, well, that's the problem.
Amen.
Because salvation isn't just a concept. It is a personal reality. And if you never accept it into your heart, you never have it.
Amen.
You just know about it.
That's right.
And so today, while you're here, my prayer is that you would not leave this place without knowing what salvation is in your own heart. Let's stand.
Amen.
Let's stand. Now we all came to church today with a backpack on our back. The question is, are you going to leave with the same one? Are you going to leave with the same things in it? Or are you going to leave free? Kenny read to us the verse. It's the greatest exchange in the Bible. It's a deal that you can't beat. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden."
Yes.
"And I will give you rest." His agreement is that He will take all of your burdens from you and He will put them on Himself. And in turn, He will give us a yoke, a burden that is light. It's Amen. Easy. Amen. It's just living for Him.
That's right.
It's just loving Him. That's the you'll never find a better deal than that.
Amen.
Take advantage of that deal today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the love of Jesus Christ and that He went to the cross to die for our sins. And Lord, we recognize that Your Word teaches us that without the love of Jesus Christ, without His blood washing away our sins, that we will one day stand before You and answer for those sins. But Lord, Your Son has given us an escape. He's given us an escape hatch. Lord, that we can remove ourselves from Your judgment and we can stand in Your love and Your grace and Your glory by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Today, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know for sure where they will spend eternity when they die, Lord, that they would make sure that they would invite Christ into their heart. They will recognize and then realize what confession and repentance truly is. Lord, that they would lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Lord, that weighs us down. And that they would take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon them and they could run the course that You have set before us. Lord, help us not to continue to walk under the burden of our sin, but help us to surrender it to Your grace and Your forgiveness. And Lord, we thank You for bringing us together. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit will continue to speak to hearts. Lord, that those who are in turmoil, those who are struggling with life, Lord, that they recognize that Jesus is the answer to the struggle. Lord, Your Son is everything for us. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we are everything because You make us everything. So Lord, speak to our hearts today and watch over us as we leave. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.